Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are towards the bottom of Yud Chet Amud Bet, that's 18b. We're on the very last of the skinny lines, and we are three words into the line. Here is it's at the two dots. This is another quotation from our Mishnah, where it says, Haya kotva, if he was writing a Megillah, dorsha, expounding a Megillah, umagia, or proofreading a Megillah, im kiven libo yatsa, if he had intentions to fulfill his mitzvah of reading the Megillah, assuming it was on Purim, he would be yotze, he would fulfill his obligation, and if not, then not. Hechidami. Similar to other quotations from our Mishnah, we want to know exactly what the case is. We are missing some details. E deka misader psuka psuka v'katavla is a situation where he was arranging it verse by verse and writing it down. Rashi says that when misader psuka psuka means he would read the verse out loud, he would say the verse out loud, and then write it down. Ki kiven libo mayhave, whether or not he had kavana, intention, why does it matter? Ki kiven libo mai, if he had intention, why? Have alpehu, this is the same as reading it by heart, meaning he's reading the Megillah, he's saying the Megillah by heart and then writing it down. So that can't be the case. Ella, rather, dekata psuka psuka, maybe he wrote it verse by verse, vikarila, after he wrote it, he read it. So therefore, he was reading it from a written source, and that's what he has to do according to our Mishnah. Umi yatza, who says he would be yotze even then? Ve'amar Rabbi Chelbo amar Rav Chama bar Gurya amar Rav. Rabbi Chelbo said in the name of Rav Chama bar Gurya, who said in the name of Rav. Halacha kidivrei ha'omer kula. The halacha is like the one who says you have to read, that you have to write the entire Megillah. You must have a complete or mostly complete Megillah. Va'afila lemanda amar. Even according to the one who says Me'ish Yehudi, that you only have to read the Megillah, we have such an opinion in our Mishnah that you only have to read the Megillah from Ish Yehudi, which is the second chapter. Tzricha, that you only need to have a full Megillah. Shetehei Ketuva Kula, that the whole thing would be written. In other words, if he is writing it down verse by verse and reading it, he's reading from an incomplete Megillah. He's only, he writes the first verse and then he reads it. There's only one verse there. It's not a whole Megillah. He has to read the Megillah from a whole Megillah. Otherwise, it's invalid. Ella, that's correct. Rather, let's give a different scenario. Demancha Megillah Kame, he has a full Megillah in front of him. Vikarila Mina Psuka Psuka, and he's reading it verse by verse. So he's not reading what he's written. He's reading from the other Megillah that he has. Vikatavla. So he reads it out loud from that Megillah, and then he writes. So apparently, it's not considered a hefsek in his reading of the Megillah that in between the reading of each verse, he's writing it down. But basically, since he's reading it from a kosher Megillah, then it's fine, even though he is also writing his own Megillah at the same time. Lema misayele, let us say that this is a support for the following viewpoint of Lerabba Bar Bar Chana. The Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Asur lichtov ot achat, shelo min haktav. It is forbidden to write even one letter if it is not from another written source. In other words, basically, when you're writing Stam, that's Sifrei Torah, Mezuzot, and Tefillin, according to this opinion, whenever you're writing a Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzot, you must have a copy. You must have a kosher Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzah in front of you, and you copy it from that text. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying it is forbidden to write holy texts without copying it directly from another text. I'm on the last word of the third wide line. Dilma, so we wanted to argue maybe this is a proof, meaning because he was writing it from, he was reading a complete Megillah, which satisfies the need to have a full Megillah, and then writing it in his own Megillah, and we're saying that if his intention was to be Yotze, reading the Megillah from when he read it from that kosher Megillah, then he would be Yotze. But in this situation, he had a full Megillah there that he was writing from. So perhaps we can learn from there that you have to have a full text in front of you in order to write a new text. But the Gemara rejects that. Dilma ditramele itramuye. Maybe that's just the way it happened. Meaning here we have a case where he had a full Megillah in front of him, and that's the only way he can be able to see the Megillah. But it's not trying to say that he has to have a full Megillah in front of him in order to write a new Megillah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Gufa. Let's go back to the original teaching. We'll investigate this a little further. Gufa always means, what's the original teaching about this topic of writing a Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzahs from a original text? Amar Rabba Bar Bachana and Rabbi Yochanan. Asur lichtov ot achat shelo min haktav. You may not write even one letter that's not from an existing text. Meitve. The Gemara asks a question about this. Amar Rashba. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, Mase b'Rabbi Meir, there once was a story that I heard about Rabbi Meir. Shehalach la'aber shana, he went to intercalate the year, that is to add, you had to do a special action of Beit Din in order to add a second Adar. They didn't have a calendar like we did that was fixed, so he went to convene a Beit Din in order to add a second Adar. Be'asya, in a certain town called Asya. And apparently when he went to do this, it was Purim, which makes sense because Purim happens in Adar. And so they were going to make the decision about whether or not to add a second Adar during the first Adar. And we discussed this in the beginning about how in earlier times they might have had to read the Megillah in the first Adar and then read it again in the second Adar if the second Adar was added. V'lo haya sham Megillah, and there was no Megillah there. So he somehow went to Asya and there was no Megillah. V'katva milibo, so he wrote one from his own heart, like he remembered it, and he wrote it down on us by himself. V'kara, and then he read from it. So in that situation, he didn't have a pre-existing text. He wrote the Megillah by heart, and then he read from it and was apparently Yotze. So that is a challenge to our assumption or our claim that you need to have a text in order to write a Megillah. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu said, "Shiny Rabbi Meir." Rabbi Meir is different than most people. In other words, the halacha is that you need to have a text to copy from, but Rabbi Meir is an exception. Demekayimbe, because he fulfilled what's written in this verse, which is in Mishle, "V'afa pecha yashiru negdecha," which means literally, your eyelids are straight before you. So I think the way he wants to understand this is that even if you close your eyes, that is your eyelids, then Hashem's words are still yeshiru negdecha. They are still in front of you in a straight fashion. In other words, even when he closed his eyes and he was doing it by heart, he knew Tanakh so well that it was as if his eyes were open. So that he, in other words, Rabbi Meir was such an expert in Tanakh that he could write a Megillah from heart and by heart and we would allow him to do it. But an ordinary scribe, we would not allow to do it. Amar le Rami bar Chama le Rabbi Yirmiyah midifti, mai va'afa pecha yeshiru nedecha. What does it mean? Your eyelids are straight before you. I just gave one explanation of it, but he's going to give a different explanation. Amar lo, he said to him, Eilu divrei Torah. These are the words of the Torah. That's what it's referring to. Dichtiv behu, because it writes about them. Hataif einecha bo ve'einenu. And hataif here, he wants to understand, comes from the word af, which means to fly away. They fly away from your eyes and they are no more. Now, this could be referring to a situation where you are learning Torah as you are about to go to sleep and you're closing your eyes. And so as you learn them, as you close your eyes, you forget them. When you fall asleep, you forget them. But the idea here is he wants to learn, instead of interpreting the word afapecha as your eyelids, he's learning them from the word af, which means to fly away. In other words, a person's memory is no good. When you try to remember the words of Torah that you read with your eyes, they fly away from you. And of course, we know that a person writing a text by heart is more likely to make a mistake than someone who's copying it from a pre-existing text. Not that you couldn't still make a mistake. We know that there is such a thing as scribal error, and it does happen. But writing by heart is much easier to make a mistake. The words of the Torah fly away from you if you're not looking directly at them. V'afilu hachi, nonetheless, even though the words of Torah can fly away from you, they're hard to remember. Miusharin han etzol Rabbi Meir. They were still straight. Rabbi Meir was so good that he could remember it, and they did not fly away from him. Rav Chisda ashkechei l'Rav Chananel. Rav Chisda found Rabbi Chananel to have a katav svarim shelo minektav. He was writing Torah scrolls and he was not using an existing text. Amar lei, and he said to him, he gave him tochacha, if you will. But he said it gently. Ru'uya kol ha-Torah kula likatev al picha. The Torah is worthy of being written by you by heart. In other words, you're such a great scholar that you could certainly write the Torah by heart. Ella kach amru chachamim. But the rabbis have said, asur lichtov ota chad shelo min haktav. It's forbidden to write even one letter, not from a pre-existing text. So he says, I'm not insulting you in any way. You're a tremendous scholar, but the rule is the rule, and the rule is that you need a pre-existing text. So this is actually a question. Midaka Amar, since it said kol haTorah kula ru'uya shetikatev al picha, since he said you are smart enough that you could write the whole Torah by heart, michlal demiushar hen etzlo. So in other words, the words of the Torah were miyushar by him too, not just by Rabbi Meir, but by him as well. Vaharbi Meir, Katav, and Rabbi Meir was writing them. So in other words, if he says, even though the words of Torah are yashar in your eyes, still the law is the law, then shouldn't Rabbi Meir also have had to follow the law? Even though he knew the text of the Torah by heart, he also should have followed the dictum of the sages that you have to use a pre-existing text. So how did he not do it? So the answer, the Gemara, the final answer is She'at Hadchak Shaini. This was an exigent time. Here Rabbi Meir was in Asia. They didn't have a Megillah. It was Purim. What else was he supposed to do? So faced with the choice of either not reading the Megillah or writing it by heart, he chose to write it by heart because it was an exigent circumstance, a sha'at hadchak. But ordinarily, even Rabbi Meir, even someone who knows the whole Tanakh backwards and forwards, should still not write the text without a pre-existing copy in front of them. Okay, we're almost done. Abaye shara lidbei bar chibo lemichtav tefillin umezuzot shelo min haktav. Abaye permitted the scribes of this certain house, bar chibo, to write tefillin and mezuzot without a pre-existing text. Now, it doesn't say here Torahs. It just says tefillin and mezuzot, but nonetheless, it seemed like the statement of Rabbi Yochanan applied to all holy writing. So the Gemara asks, Kiman, whose opinion is this? So the Gemara says, Ki hai Tana, it is like this Tana, this sage, the Tanya Rabbi Yirmiya Omer Mishum Rabbeinu, that Rabbi Yirmiya said in the name of our teacher, which maybe means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Tefillin u'mezuzot nichtavot shelo min haktav. Tefillin and mezuzot can be written without a pre-existing text. The ein tzrichot sirtut, and in addition, they do not require sirtut, which is the scoring. In other words, you score into the parchment lines, and then you write the letters based on that lining. The hilchita and the halacha is tefillin ein tzrichin sirtut. Tefillin do not require scoring. Mezuzot tzrichin sirtut, and mezuzos do require scoring. In the Rambam, where he mentions this halacha, the Kesef Mishnah suggests that because tefillin are covered very securely in boxes, they do not require sirtut, but because mezuzot are much more exposed to the elements, they do require sirtut. I don't really understand how that works, because that's really about whether or not how often they need to be checked and how vulnerable they are to becoming smudged or destroyed, not about whether or not the scribe will be able to write in a straight line or not. That's what the answer that he gives. Aidi, both tefillin and mezuzot, nichtavot shelo min haktav, can be written not from a pre-existing text. My taima, last line of the daf, that abbreviation at the beginning of the line, mem tet, is my taima. What's the reason that you can write tefillin and mezuzot without using a pre-existing text? Migras grisin. Everybody knows them because what's written in tefillin and mezuzot is the text of the Shema, and everybody says the Shema every day, and you're familiar with it. Everybody knows it by heart, so you can write it by heart because they're short sections, and everybody knows them by heart. So everybody has the girsa, the actual text. Everybody knows it very, very well, as opposed to writing a whole Torah scroll or even a Megillah, which is much longer, and most people don't know it by heart and don't say it every day. Then you would need a pre-existing text, but the halacha would be here that for tefillin and mezuzot, you don't need to use a pre-existing text, although it would still seem like it's a better option, lechatchila, to use a pre-existing text. Similarly, just on the side, the question of whether or not sirtut is required, we do paskin that tefillin do not require to have sirtut, but Rabbeinu Tam, not in this Tosfot, but in another place, Paskins that the first line needs to have Sirtut. And as a matter of actual practice, I think most tefillin are written with Sirtut, even though it's not 100% required. Okay, we'll stop there on the bottom line of Yud Chet Amud Bet, and we'll pick up in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.